This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
I came here trying to find a way to stop the current unheard-of war going on in Sudan, which is a real tragedy.
The U.S. Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa, Mike Hammer.
But it's, frankly, the largest humanitarian crisis that no one is talking about. Over 6 million people have been displaced in Sudan. There have been horrific atrocities, war crimes. It's sort of haunting memories of the genocide that occurred in Darfur 20 years ago.
That's coming up in this episode of Target USA. From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm JJ Green.
For the past few months, we've been heavily focused on what's taking place in Gaza and in Israel. And for the last 2 years, we've been looking at what's taking place in Ukraine, the war with Russia. But what we haven't paid a lot of attention to is Africa. The U.S. Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa, Mike Hammer, is on an extended trip there, and he's engaged in some very important dialogues right now. He joined us for a conversation about this week.
Ambassador, you are on a pretty significant and fairly long trip right now, and I want to get into some of the things you're doing along this trip in just a moment, but I know you're in Qatar right now, I believe you are, and this is a critical place right now because of the situation in Israel and Gaza. Could you give us a sense of what your objectives are in this place you're in now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks, JJ, again for reaching out. I am, in fact, in Doha, Qatar, and was participating in the Doha Forum, but I came here very much focused on the purview of my mandate, which is to work with our African partners on trying to find a way to stop the current unheard-of war going on in Sudan, which is a real tragedy. So I participated in a panel yesterday where we highlighted U.S. Engagement, again, with our African partners, and we can go into greater detail. But it's, frankly, the largest humanitarian crisis that no one is talking about. Over 6 million people have been displaced in Sudan. There have been horrific atrocities, war crimes that have been committed, as Secretary Blinken noted in his determination just last week. And frankly, you know, it's sort of haunting memories of the genocide that occurred in Darfur 20 years ago. And so we are very much engaged, but had meetings today with Qatari officials in terms of the work that they're doing to, in fact, provide humanitarian assistance to all those Sudanese in need. And again, welcome the opportunity to share with you and your listeners what the United States is doing, again, to try to bring an end to this horrific conflict in Sudan. We have some very specific objectives that after the fighting broke out on April 15th, that we've been engaged in when Secretary Blinken engaged with the chairperson, Moussa Faki of the African Union, and many other leaders immediately thereafter to basically try to achieve key objectives. And let me outline those for you. First, obviously, we want to bring an immediate end to the fighting. Secondly, we want to ensure the unhindered access for humanitarian assistance to all those people in need. Third, to make very clear that there can be no acceptable military solution to this conflict. And in conjunction with that, the fourth element is obviously making very clear together with our African partners in the region that there should not be outside interference and outside support for the warring parties, the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Reaction Forces. And lastly, that the United States, together with our African partners, want to be supportive of Sudanese-led, Sudanese-owned civilian process that can provide a durable solution and a return to civilian governance. You know probably very well, JJ, that there was a Sudanese revolution that, you know, basically the Sudanese people expressed their desire for democratic governance, and that's been stolen from them. And we need to create the conditions that allow them, the civilians, to determine the future of Sudan. So it's a busy schedule. And from here, I will be departing at the crack of dawn today, a little later on, for Addis Ababa, where we'll be dealing with issues pertaining to Ethiopia. And we can get into that part of our trip as well during our chat today.
Okay, well, let's break a bit of this down. You have talked about what you're doing in Qatar at this moment regarding Sudan. And I know we started to cover this war, this situation, when things broke out. But there are so many other things that have broken out that have distracted journalists and people in general, including the war in Israel and the war between Israel and Hamas, and of course, what's going on in Ukraine. But extremism, I think, has played a key role in what's taking place in Sudan. You know, basically, according to some of the folks I've talked to, basically extremists and terrorism have wafted their way into this conflict and are driving a good bit of it. What's your view on that?
Yeah, no, thanks, JJ. And I really appreciate that you're giving this conflict in Sudan coverage and visibility. Let me assure you that the United States has been laser focused, despite, of course, the other very troublesome hotspots around the world that you've listed. We have stayed laser focused from the beginning of this conflict on April 15th. But even before, we were trying to work to facilitate a return to civilian democratic rule in Sudan. And of course, there are, as you point out, concerns about Islamists returning to power, of course, concerns about the risk of terrorism. But right now, what you have is two parties in the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces who are basically destroying, raping the country. And it needs to stop. And that is what we've been engaged in. In fact, the first stop of my visit was in Djibouti, where the Intergovernmental Authority on Development for East Africa, the basically eight countries in this region, for your listeners, Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan, and Uganda, were coming together again to try to address the crisis in Sudan and trying to ensure that a stop could be brought to this horrific violence. And the results of that summit were that both General Burhan, who heads the Sudanese Armed Forces, and General Hameti, who heads the Rapid Support Forces, committed to the African leaders, the summit in which we just participated, that they would accept and commit to a unconditional ceasefire. And secondly, that they would meet face-to-face on a one-to-one meeting facilitated, again, by IGAD, this regional organization, an effort that the United States supports. But probably, as you know, JJ, we've been working previously in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to try to achieve ceasefires, to try to push forward with greater humanitarian access. But we've been frustrated, and that process has been stalled. We were working there with Saudi Arabia and IGAD, and yet these belligerents have not delivered on their commitments. So while we are heartened in some way that the leaders of this conflict have made a new commitment, there needs to be follow through. There needs to be action. And we want to be supportive, again, of our African partners who are trying to really bring an end to this horrific situation And it requires, again, bringing in other partners in the Gulf, for example, the United Arab Emirates. Egypt is an important player. So we're involved, again, with the lead African nations, but also other international actors, the UN, other institutions. So it is something that we are putting a lot of diplomatic muscle towards. Secretary Blinken has been personally quite engaged. Our colleagues over at the White House and other agencies, USAID, of course, on the humanitarian front, the U.S. Agency for International Development. So this is a all hands on deck effort that includes, you know, our Assistant Secretary Molly Fee, who leads on our Bureau for African Affairs, and our ambassador to Sudan, who's currently had to relocate to Addis Ababa, John Godfrey, and we've even brought in a former ambassador, Daniel Rubenstein, who's been working in Jeddah. So really, we are devoting a lot of attention and effort to end this war.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Mike, if I might, Ambassador, you know, I mentioned to you this concern about extremism. Speaking of which, you are in Qatar again. About a week or so ago, the Counter-Extremism Project, which has been very active for a number of years, fighting extremism in a number of different places, called on every participant that was going to the Doha conference to confront Qatar about the fact that it has sponsored and financed and helped Hamas, speaking of extremist organizations, for years. And even though they played a key role in negotiating hostage releases, and I know this isn't your portfolio, but you are an American that is in Qatar right now. What can you say? What do you have to say about the situation in Qatar? How does Qatar feel about the situation they're in?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm glad you pointed out that it's not within my lane, and so I'm really very much focused on my visit here on the work that we do with the Qataris as it relates to the Horn of Africa, in particular, as I mentioned, the humanitarian assistance that they're providing to the Sudanese people. And we got today further commitments that they will step up and help. Again, over 6 million people right. have been as well as on the counterterrorism front and part of the work that I do on Somalia, we actually did talk about efforts that we can do together with others to counter al-Shabaab. But on the other issues, frankly, I will leave it to our ambassador, a very able ambassador here and others back in Washington to address the concerns that you've raised.
Are they not talking at all? Or is there nothing? They're not saying anything about that situation at all, the Qatari government?
I wouldn't say that, JJ. We are a large government with many senior high-level officials engaging with the Qataris on a broad range of issues. What I'm saying is that I'm only in a position here to talk about the work that I'm responsible for, the efforts we're trying to do in the Horn of Africa.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Speaking of the other things that you're doing, Ethiopia, Djibouti, what's next?
Yeah, so I'm headed to Ethiopia tomorrow, where I'll have an opportunity to continue to follow up. You may remember, JJ, over a year ago, we were in a horrific circumstance in northern Ethiopia, war in Tigray, which cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of Ethiopians. And when I took on this job in June of 2022, really I was given the mandate to try to work with the African Union specifically to try to see how we might be able to bring that war to an end. And it was deemed mission impossible. And I think through a lot of hard work and the efforts of the African Union, specifically the high-level panel that included people like former president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, former president of Nigeria, Obasanjo, as well as Madame Pumzile of South Africa, and the United States there as observers, together with the United Nations and IGAD, we were able to achieve a cessation of hostilities agreement on November 2nd of 2022. And even though we are very pleased, again, it silenced the guns, we are still following through on the implementation. For example, we are concerned about continuing Eritrean troop presence in northern Ethiopia. There are contested areas that need to be resolved through political dialogue. So that's one big agenda item, is the follow through with the African Union, with the Ethiopian government and the interim regional administration of Tigray. Secondly, you may have been following in the news, I was not too long ago, in fact, last month, spent a couple of weeks in Dar es Salaam, participating in talks between the government of Ethiopia and the Oromo Liberation Army, again, to try to bring an end to that conflict in Oromia. Unfortunately, those talks ended without an agreement, but we'll continue to work very hard to address that. And you've probably been following the concerns about now in the Amhara region and concerns about human rights violations happening there. And so we'll have a very robust conversation with Ethiopian authorities, urging them to find ways to resolve these very complex and complicated historical ethnic problems through dialogue, and not through more military efforts. And of course, to uphold human rights and ensure that those who are committing human rights abuses are held to account.
Ambassador, one final thing. It seemed as though to me that we've lost a lot of ground when you look at the continent. There's been this movement, certainly not unnoticed by the Russian government, to try to essentially draw in African nations to their view and their way of doing things, and not the least of which is, I think, Niger. There have been a couple of other countries as well where they, in West Africa, where they've been very active. Russian operatives, including, of course, the group that Yevgeny Prigozhin was involved in before he was killed. So is the U.S. concerned about the fact that the West may be losing ground in that region?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, JJ spent nearly 4 years as ambassador to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and now for the past year and a bit, I've been working on the Horn of Africa. First, let me say this. I mean, we and the Biden administration is very focused on building and strengthening our partnerships with the African continent. You're probably well aware of the African Leaders Summit that President Biden hosted last December, and the efforts we're trying to do, again, to really have the kind of partnership that is beneficial to the African people, that generates prosperity, that allows them to live in freedom and to not have to really face some of the conditions that, on the health front that they experienced through COVID. And we are perhaps, and without a doubt, by far the largest donor of assistance, both in terms of humanitarian assistance, health assistance through the PEPFAR program and others. But let me say this, when we talk about, and you raise, concerns, whether it's China or Russia or other actors, whenever I have conversations with regular people, African youth and women and people in the business sector, you know what? They want to be closer to the United States. They want to have their societies be democratic. They want opportunity. They want education. They want healthcare. And that's where we are a much better partner. And they recognize that. And so that's the strength of our American democracy and history and diversity, and they appreciate that. And so we just need to be very present and there as a true partner. And that's the commitment that President Biden made from the very beginning of his administration in February of 2021, when he addressed the African Union leaders at their summit and offered that stretched hand of partnership. And so, yes, we have to be mindful of nefarious actors, as you pointed out, Prigozhin's group, in the Wagner group, certainly, and those that are trying to create instability and support for undemocratic action. Again, I'm heartened by how hard my colleagues throughout the interagency are working and the effort that is being made to give voice and strength to those youth, to those who want a better future, and see that through their connections with the United States and with U.S. support, they can realize their dreams. And so we'll keep working on that. And it's a very complicated world, as I know you fully appreciate, JJ. And we have our eye on the ball when it comes to questions relating to terrorism, absolutely, and extremism. But at the same time, we're investing in African youth and African lives to again, have the kind of work that makes us, and I think the American taxpayer, proud. And we haven't even talked about, you know, climate change and other food security issues where, again, the United States is leading.
Well, that may be a good conversation for another time. Ambassador Mike Hammer, thank you for your time.
You're most welcome. Thank you for reaching out, and we'll see you back at home, back in the district.
That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, the latest and most up-to-date information that we can find about the conflicts, the issues, and problems regarding U.S. national security around the world, here at home and abroad, of course. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm JJ Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.